seeking God and seeing Him in my life and seeing the ways that He's working, the things that He saved me for. I mean, I feel like He saves us all for a reason. He has a purpose for each one of us in this church and in His kingdom. He has a place for us. There's something that we are to do for Him, something specific. Most importantly, come in to worship Him and praise Him and give Him the glory and do our part to keep this place here so that we can invite other people in. Because if everybody in here didn't pay their tithes, then we wouldn't have the church. So I'm really thankful that God has allowed me to do that and helped me to do that, to make that commitment, so that in the future, those people that Brother Durham was talking about do have a place to come to. And as we add more and more people, the people that do stand and who are the leaders can lead those people by example. I'm realizing more and more as I live that you can talk about something all day long, but there's really only one way to lead, and that is by example. Excuse me. And I'm thankful that God is allowing me to see those things. And even in business, I realize that there are people watching me. And I don't want to speak too soon, but the last few sales meetings that we've had in the morning somehow came around to prayer. So last week, 3 out of 4 days, I think, we had a prayer at the end of our sales meeting. It's amazing what God can do if you'll just let Him do it instead of trying to do it yourself. You know, He brought the opportunity up the first day on Monday of last week, and somebody asked that we pray. I was just joking. And we had a really good sales meeting, and I was following this train of thought. And I mean, I feel like God even gave me that, because He had to let it to that point. And then jokingly, I said, I feel like we ought to have prayer now, because that's the thought that came to my mind, and I was just kind of speaking that train of thought that I was on. And I said, but I'm just kidding. And somebody said, no, because I didn't want to pressure it. And I didn't. It kind of came out before I even thought about what I was saying, you know. And somebody said, no, I'd really like that if we had prayer. And I said, well, it's up to you guys. I said, this is a sales meeting. That's y'all's choice. And I said, and they said, yeah, we do. And everybody gathered around, and we all held hands, and we had our first prayer. It was pretty cool. And, man, God is good. So I feel like, you know, He's using me wherever I am, because I always ask God, well, Lord, what do you want me to do? How are you going to use me? What is your purpose? What is your purpose for me? You know, my part for you. Why did you keep me around here? Because there was definitely a reason, I know, besides just coming to church and this and that. And, I knew that He was going to help me to have a ministry to witness to people. I just didn't know how. And I realized that, you know, your business can be a great ministry. You know, just in business and in everyday life. And the second day we had another prayer, and it wasn't just, I thought, how could we top yesterday? So that little bit of thinking like that, you know, it wasn't as great as it could have been, because you can't go back to your natural thinking when God brings something spiritual about like that, you know. And I had to realize that I didn't do that, and He's big enough, He can top anything that He starts out on. That was step one. And but the third day, it really came back around, and God really helped me to have the conscious strength and the conscious words, and not just standing there in the Holy Ghost with all these people to pray another prayer that was needed. And then I was talking to a girl the other day, and she said, she was telling me about her life, how her grandma and grandpa had raised her, and they had passed away last year. And how she was living with some other people that had just taken her in. And she was telling me about how her grandma and grandpa bought the car. That's how it started. I asked her, I said, how'd you get that car? Because I thought, she's too young to, unless somebody bought that for her. She must have worked really hard from the time like she was 16. And I finally asked her, and then she started talking to me, and she said, you know, Mr. Perry, she said, most of all, what I like about being here is that prayer we have every day. And I thought, you know, and Angie said, that's the last person I thought that would have said that. So you don't know who you're affecting or who your light's shining to. And that doesn't make me perfect. That doesn't mean, you know, that I'm doing everything right. But you know what? I've realized God can use you where you're at if you let him. You don't have to be in third heaven or, you know, the highest condition that you can be in. If you'll just let him use you right here, he will. And he'll help you. He'll help you to bring, that'll help bring you to another level if you'll just allow him to use you. So it's really, really been amazing. And I really look forward to the things that he's going to do in the future. And I'm very thankful that Jesus is my Lord and Savior and that God is my daddy. And appreciate all my brothers and sisters here. And I look forward. You know, one of the things that I've really been realizing is that if you look at, I talked about this the other day. I was talking about goals in life and stuff. And I said, do you see that? I've had to bring a plant in. And I said, you see that leaf right there? I said, before that third leaf come out, there was a design that put it there. And I said, God put it in that design that's exactly where that leaf was going to appear. And I feel like in our services here, Brother Smith's been talking about how the day of the Lord is here. I feel like if we will just let go and let God have control and know that he is taking us to another level, and everybody realize that and believe that together as a group in unity and in faith, it will come to pass. Because it's going to take that in order for us to allow God to do his work here. You know, if one or two of us believes, that's great, but what God's looking for is for all of us to come together and let his power work through us so that when these people do come in, they do see something that they've never seen before, and they do realize that there is something different here and that they can come in and get help. Another thing that I realized, you know, just in business, is that if we see people exactly as they are and not for what they want to be, how can you help them? Nobody out in that sinful condition really wants to be in that condition. Most of them just don't know how to get help. So really, I've learned just in business in the last few weeks, the way to empower people is to see them as different, as something that they want to be, something good, something better than what they are. And when you see them like that, it empowers them to become a better person. And you have to be a better person too, because you have to move up as they move up so you can still be their leader. So it works hand in hand. It's kind of like a mirror deal. So I feel like, you know, that if we will all see the potential that God sees us as, and we will start moving into that and find out what it is that he wants us to do, then he will make this happen, everything that's being talked about. Because it is here. I've felt it for a long time, for the last 2 years. Before we even came here, we knew this was happening. But it's going to take each and every one of us opening our hearts up and saying, okay, Lord, I can believe that you're going to use me for whatever you're going to use me for. Whatever it is, show me, and that's what I'll do. And, you know, together and with his power working through each and every one of us, there's nothing that can stop us.
Praise God. What some words of hope, Brother Tyrone. Well, Tyrone is a perfect example of God looking, seeing the potential in somebody. And I was thinking about that. Well, you know, Jesus, he did go and try to preach in the synagogues, but he found himself really ministering to the cast-offs in life, the publicans and sinners. And they questioned him, why are you ministering to them? He said, those who are well don't have need of a physician. You know, Prophet Samuel told Saul, he said, when you were small in your own eyes. That's a problem with religious people. They're not very small in their own eyes. That's why we can really, really need to realize that unless a person that's religious is hungry for more of the Lord, you can't help them. You can't reach them. We're not reaching as much into religion as we used to. The people are full. They believe that they're all right, but there's a people out there that are sick and are dying, and they know they need help. They don't feel like they're worth anything. And Jesus sees what they can be with his touch and his grace and an answering to his calling. What grace can do for their life. People can only see what you are. You know, a lot of people can't even see what you are. They see what you were. Glad that Christ doesn't look at me what I was yesterday. Sister Hutchinson, he ain't looking at you as that girl in the dance halls doing a jitterbug. She knew all the dances, she'll tell you. The Charleston, that's what it was. Every once in a while you can catch her doing that up front. But No, he don't remember. He don't, he's not having a conversation like this. If this was a conversation, you would never be saved. Well, I remember when she was this. God, Jesus don't have those conversations. He's telling the heavenly host, just wait. Just wait and see what this flower is going to bloom to be. The precious fruit that's going to be produced during life. I'm doing something.
That's it.
I'm doing something. Yeah. Wait till see what happens to them tomorrow. Yeah. They're my workmanship. Each and every one of y'all here is God's workmanship. And who am I to criticize what God's working on?
Yeah.
But I'm to look at you like Jesus is. Sister, that Sister Julie, she's blooming. She's producing fruit. Hallelujah. I know. There's something God doing in her. I can't wait to see what she's going to do for God. And sometimes we got to say that about ourselves. We can get down on ourselves. I had a rough day. Tore the toenail off her own. That's a bad day. Jesus, did you ever have a day like this? He sure did. It says, foot and eye slip. We saw the prosperity of the wicked. So he had a couple of bad days. He had days where they didn't have bad days because he was doing his own will, but he had some rough days. There was days he was able to slip out of the crowd because they were about to stone him. I remember I was talking to somebody the other day, and I don't remember who it was. They said, how do you think he slipped out? I said, both of our minds are on the same thing, because he didn't look much different than the regular guy. You know, he didn't stand out looking way, way different, so different that everybody said, you know, he wasn't the preacher with the white suit and the white shoes. Somehow he was able to maneuver out about him because didn't look much different than they did. That was kind of a rough day. Healing people. Here to give a man that had a bum arm and a bum hand. Couldn't even use it. Withered up. And he heals him. And he's able to praise God with his new hand. And they turn around and say, man, I can't believe you done that on the Sabbath day. How about he thought, Brother Dermy, probably, that's the last straw. I've had it with his healing these people. No, he didn't ever say that. The potential, the precious fruit of God. One time I had a man say, hey, I'm wanting to invite this guy to church. But I don't know. You know, he's got a bunch of tattoos all over him. I've been married a couple times. I said, that's the guy you need to invite. He's interested. He needs the Lord.
Yeah.
We need to have a mindset of not trying to win somebody to our way of thinking, but to present a gospel that'll transform somebody's life. And we're getting excited about seeing souls saved and transformed for God. Hallelujah. That their life could be changed. Not to be one to my way of thinking or a philosophy. But somehow the angels in heaven, it says, would rejoice when a soul's converted.
That's it.
Not that they could think the way I think, but they feel something that I feel.
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah. I want to, sometimes I wonder, how do these people make it? How do these, you know, I don't, you know, I never look, I used to have my business in Springfield was about four doors down from a tattoo shop, one of the most popular tattoo shops in Springfield. And just what we need, more rain, right? Well, it hadn't rained in probably a month, so I guess we need a little rain. And I used to see those guys that run the tattoo shop. It was profitable. I mean, they were a busy, busy tattoo shop. And but I talked to them every once in a while. I don't even remember those guys smiling or laughing. They seemed sad all the time. They seemed hurt all the time. They were just doing what the world does. You know, they'd go out back. Once I'd take the trash out the back and I'd look and they'd be out there smoke, having a smoke break. And I'd say hi and smile at them. They didn't smile back because they couldn't smile back. They didn't have anything to smile about. And I thought, if I could only know Jesus. I should have went and told them about Jesus. Feel bad that I didn't. It's not a... So try to think of it that way. They don't have to know all the doctrines. They don't have to know just how we do everything. All they've got to do is meet the Master. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Found out there's a God that loved them so much that He paid a price on Calvary's Hill. And in doing that, He's able to offer them a gift. The gift of life eternal. Not to some hereafter deal, but eternal life that starts today.
Yes.
Yeah, it came that we have life and life more abundantly.
Yes.
Walking in an abundant sea of life. Makes me want to shout.
Hallelujah.
Makes me want to do that little deal that Dad does. By the way, we need to pray for him. That foot is really, really, really hurting him. And he said, I need to stay home and keep it elevated. He's probably going to have to go see a doctor or something, see if there's something worse in his foot. I know the Lord can touch him. But anyway, I know the Lord is starting to deal with us. Brother Smith mentioned it just here a while back. That's Okie talk for, you know, a while ago, here a while back, about now that, you know, the church, our church, you know, the Lord this last year has helped our two churches blend into one, but now it's time to start reaching out to this community and start praying. If the Lord is dealing with you in outreach to do something, you don't have to get my approval to do it. You don't, and the Lord may not want you to try to get me to join you to do it, you know, but just do something. Do what the Lord's doing. If He wants, if you think, you know what, that's how it all happens. This is where we get sidetracked. We need to start handing out flyers. No, you need to start handing out flyers. We need to start calling on people. No, you need to start calling on people. Wherever the Lord's directing you to do in your heart and your mind, start to do it. He's dealing with you in it. He's looking for one person to obey Him. That's all He needs. One individual. You know, if the others see you in action, say, well, what are you doing? You got three people to come to church. They say, I'm just obeying God. He just told me to do this, and so I'm doing it. I don't know. Start asking the Lord to show you what to do. The right person to lead you to. All you may have to do is say, Lord, I'm going out today. Now, if there's somebody that you're dealing with, direct me to them and let me know that's them, and I'll say something. I'll invite them over to the house. Start talking to them about the good things. You know, all they need is maybe a friend to talk to. I'll be that friend to listen to them. Get ready, folks. The Lord's going to start bringing people in. And the church is the mother. You're going to have to do some mothering. Sister Reva's having to deal with twins right now. She's having to do lots of mothering. She's got the twins, and then she's got Anthony. He's still a little boy. He requires lots of, demands a lot of attention. Can you imagine... If you say, Lord, I don't need two or three to deal with. Just give me one to help. Just give me one person that I can lead to the church. Well, if everybody here just lead one to the church, it wouldn't matter. It'd be too long that we fill this place up. We double, and then what happens? It starts multiplication. Starts happening.
Yeah.
We've got the tools. We've got the facility, and we've got a people that know how to work and labor. Hallelujah. So I ask the Lord to help you. I appreciate today's service. It's been wonderful. This morning was good. Hearing still having a good Bible study in the book of Revelations. And to heard well what we had today. Dealing with the 13th chapter of Corinthians, we got that today, and then I'm glad to hear Brother Durham's heart tonight. And then for us to reach up and work, Andrew to admonish us to reach up and worship and talk to the Lord and just worship Him.
Yes.
We could, we need more of that. Just worshiping, just closing our eyes and talking to God in worship. You know, it's a lot of times it's easier to do it together with your brother.
Yeah.
Just to worship Him. You know, I it feels good in here. We could go home now, but we're going to have trouble getting to the car. we'll just keep going just a little bit longer. But I feel good about being here tonight. Maybe we can have another song or two, or well, we can get lost in the Holy Ghost. I don't know what'll happen here. Praise God. It's wonderful.
Hallelujah.
Well, I'm still thankful to be here. I can talk really loud. No. Okay. It's been a while. I haven't told God how thankful I am, and I've been feeling, every time I wanted to get up, someone gets up and says, the service is over. And I'm like, okay, I better jump up before it's over tonight. So a lot of you may know, and a lot of you may not know, Tyrone was in an accident and totaled our van. And this was about a month ago now. And but, you know, at the time when it happened, I was thinking, we were both pretty down about it. You know, we'd almost had that van paid off. But it worked out really well. God blessed us with all the money that we'd paid on that van, so we were able to buy another vehicle. And of course, the best thing is he wasn't hurt, you know.
Yes,
I should be very thankful for that, you know.
Yeah.
But God is just, he has done so much for us. And being in, anybody that has worked with their husbands knows how stressful it is to work with your husband. You know, it's not always the funnest thing in the world to do, but and you really have to trust in God, you know. Just say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. But we've had a few things that we've been through this past week and the week before that, where I was all stressed out and worried, and Jennifer was with me, and it was when I threw my hands up in the air and said, you know what, Lord, whatever you want it. Whatever you have, just bring it to me.
Yeah.
When we got back to the office and everything and worked itself out, and I was like, wow, God is awesome. If we just let go and let God do what he's going to do anyway, it'll all work out for his good. So I'm so thankful to be here, and thankful for all the many blessings. I really appreciated the sisters meeting we had. That was very nice, and I just love you all. Thank you.
Said tonight about if God's dealing with you, don't try to get somebody else to do it. I mean, what hit me was last night I was watching CNN, and it was Heroes Night. They do this like once a year, and I was thinking about like how one person can make a difference in a life. And there was this kid, he was probably in his 16 or 17, he was out on the lake with his family, and he was skiing, and he got knocked off the skis, and somehow they ran over his legs and cut both his legs off. And when he was laying in the hospital, you know, this young man was laying in the hospital, he realized that there were a lot of young people there, children, small children, and young people that didn't have insurance or the wealth that his parents had, that couldn't afford prostheses and couldn't afford anything, prostheses for their hands, couldn't afford prostheses for the foot. They couldn't afford, if they got one, they had to keep it. They didn't give them another one as they grew. And this young man is probably in his early 20s now, but he's got a big program that he started that he makes sure that every child has a prosthesis. He realized that with his, he said, I'm not glad this happened to me. He said, but I feel like it showed me my purpose for my life. That there is a need here. I would have went on and lived a selfish life if I hadn't had this happen to me. There's a need that I never knew was there. And then there was this other guy. He was I forgot where he worked, and he was coming home one evening, and he was Spanish, and it was up in Brooklyn or somewhere, I'm not sure, up in New York. And there was a bunch of Spanish people on the side of the road, homeless, and he said, are you hungry? And they said, yes. Every night when he gets off work, him and his family, they cook food. They feed over 300 or 400 people every evening. Beans, rice, whatever's donated to them. And I thought, one person made a difference, you know. And when Michael was talking, if we just would allow God to show us what he's called us to do, this is an individual, and I'm very much a procrastinator. And in certain areas. And I was just thinking, if every one of us, like he was talking about, sought the Lord and what he's asking us to do as an individual, how much we can make a difference.
Yeah.
And not just, even our families' lives that we've been praying for years, but this church, the how we could fill the church up and meet different needs. And there was another guy, it was in the Philippines. He grew up in the poverty of the Philippines, where women and children were married by the time our husband, there were fathers and mothers at 12 and 13 years old, and they were on drugs. There was no education, no schooling. He started a school, and he works at making sure that these people have a hope to get out of there. One person can make a difference. Can you imagine? There's over 100 people that are faithful people that come to this church, except this weekend everybody's either sick or out of town. But if everybody, you know, if we all sought the Lord, and I'm talking to myself, what we could do, what he could do through us, not what we can do, but what he can do through us for his glory.
Yeah.
And I don't know, when he thought about that, when he said that, I was just thinking about all those people that they were giving these awards to, that had such a tender heart, and they don't have this message, and I don't know what God they serve. I don't know nothing about them, but they had compassion, and they found something, a calling for their life. They have other jobs. They do other things, but yet they're not self-centered. Their life's not revolved around themselves, and I thought that's what it's about. It is so easy to get involved in just yourself, and I just appreciate the sweet spirit we have here tonight, and the thoughts that were said, and the things that we felt, and I want to be one of those that hears his calling and not just be stagnant. I feel stagnant sometimes, just going, you know, just the good old gal. Well, the part y'all don't know about is the good old gal, you know. But just going, you know, go to church, you know, do that. But God has to show you what he wants you to do, but first you have to seek him and be willing to. I'm not bashful about witnessing to anybody or talking to anybody or looking to see if there's a need, but am I really led by the Lord? I just really like to be led and his will for my life.
This reminded me when David was, in 2002, he was sick, and I had to call Medicare on some things because at the beginning I didn't understand a lot of the EOBs, and I called, I think it was in New Jersey, and this young man was helping me, and I was he had the printouts of the computer of some of his EOBs and everything, and he just thought it was terrible what David got through. And that gave us a chance to talk to each other. And we talked for quite a while. And he was telling me about his sister that lived in Virginia. And he was going to go that weekend to see her because she, I think, at least I can remember the story, she was dying. Or she had a very bad condition that could leave her to death. And I got to talk to him about the Lord, and I've never seen the man. I mean, he's way across country. But I told him, I said, look in the yellow pages. Because I was telling him about some of the healings that David had and what the Lord had done through these past few months and everything. And I said, look in the yellow pages for a Pentecostal church. Call that pastor and see if he believes in divine healing. And I said, if they believe in divine healing, which most of them do, I said, you get you a little hanky and you take that to that minister and you have him to pray over that hanky and take it to your sister and put it in her pillowcase. And I asked him if he went to church. He said, no, I've not gone to church in many, many years. I said, go do this. I talked to him about the Lord. I told him about divine healing, to have faith. Now, at that time, I wished I had had a minister's book that was updated that I could have invited him to go, give him a name of some of our ministers in that part of the country. But I got to thinking, you know, that we never know when an opportunity is going to open up for us to say something about the Lord to somebody. It's not everybody that you walk meet standing in line for the grocery store. Usually it's Home Depot. But that has happened to me there. But also it reminded me of the time that when I worked for Kelwood, and I did all their hiring. We had three plants under one roof, and I did all their hiring. And they, the people in the St. Louis office wanted me in, to go to Grenada, Mississippi. I believe it was Grenada, Mississippi. Yeah. Oh, there was three out of St. Louis and then me in Little Rock, to go down there to do a survey on the plant down there. We had that plant was having employee problems, bad ones, and our job was to take a notebook and interview every employee in that building. And one side was negative and the other side was positive. Well, in the meantime, I had met the president of that group down there, and of course I don't remember if my hair was up or down, but he could tell by looking with the way I was dressed and everything, I guess, that I was a different person than anybody around there, because they all wore pants. And I mean, that it we do show up, not that we're trying to show out, but we do show a little difference when we dress different. And he came to me while we were down there. It was one Thursday night. He came to me. He asked me about the church that I went to, and I told him. He said, well, Kenneth Copeland is going to be in another town, and he would like for me to go with him and his wife. They were going to go to this meeting that Kenneth Copeland was going to hold. And I didn't know these people, but I don't meet a stranger, I guess. Back then I didn't. He wanted me to spend the night with them and go to that meeting. I'd have to, because it was a lot of driving if they took me back to my hotel. And I spent the night with him and his wife and went to this meeting in this other town. And these people were all, well, one of them was an attorney, another one was a banker. They were more the officials of that town at that meeting with Kenneth Copeland. And there was a woman sitting in front of me, and he was trying to get this woman to talk in tongues. Well, this was when I was just first back in church. It was in 73 or 74. And I still was really, I mean, I'm on fire for God now. But then there, my zeal was a little bit more stronger. And I was just, yeah, more boastful with it. But he was trying to get her talking tongues, and it was so weird how he was trying to get, he'd go blah, 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 blah. I thought, well, I'm going to help her out. If she's trying to get the Holy Ghost, well, I started praying. I mean, like we were taught to pray, not just a foreign word or two. And everybody just looked at me, and Kenneth Copeland looked at me, and I felt a cold spirit. And I had to back off. I knew right then that wasn't the real thing as far as I was concerned about the Holy Ghost and bringing the Spirit in. They had no Spirit there. There was no singing, no nothing. He just touched her on the head and started going into a foreign, unknown. It wasn't spiritual. It just was not. And but this man that was the president of Kelwood in Mississippi was really interested in where I went. And I told him about Brother Clyde Patton. And so he gave me his business card, and I called Brother Patton. And Brother Patton and I think Brother George Wright went up there to visit that town and the people. And Brother Patton told me later, he said, well, he just didn't feel. They went out there to put their feelers out to see what God would have for them in that territory, and they didn't feel anything. But you don't know until you feel out and reach out to people, because not everybody's not going to see this and have what we've got. But it was reminding all that was talking about years ago. I was really the younger. I had a way to get out and meet people. It was just really amazing. And, well, I'll tell you another story, and I'm sure everybody's wanting to go home. But while I'm up telling stories, I'll tell you this story. It sounds like I'm bragging, but it was because I was so on fire for the Lord to get people converted and in church, and I wanted them to feel and see what I had. And another time, the company sent me to Jackson, Mississippi. And I was down there for a week for training in the personnel department, more training, and I wanted to go to church. So I looked in the Yellow Pages and found this church that looked, it just looked okay. Then I thought, well, I'll call them and see if they're having church that night, and they were. And they came and got me, and I went to their service. Well, afterwards, they took me to their home, and we had sandwiches, and we were talking, and I was telling them about this body of people, and they really was interested. And I gave them my business, our church card, and then I called Brother Patton, because that was part of Brother Patton from back then's territory, and he went and visited them. And then I told Brother Tucker, and they started coming up to Little Rock. Well, that church, Brother Patton, and I guess Brother Tucker, Brother Weiniger, you probably remember this, got them in the body. The whole Assembly of God Church got them in the body. And there's still a church down there, but he's not over them anymore. This Brother Cooks, he's not over them. But you don't know. We don't know. We could go out here and visit. There's a church down in Bryant that every time we visit it, I feel something about that church. My heart goes out to them. I feel a little something. And it's called the New Church, brand new church, I believe. I've never been in it, but I feel something when I go by it. And years ago, we used to go visit churches and see what the Lord would have for us to deal with us there in these churches and everything. But I'm for getting out and winning people. Maybe some way and somehow I can do my part. I just like to be able to do my part. If that's my calling, to talk to people and tell them about this church. I don't ever talk to anybody about doctrine. That's for later. That's for the ministers to give them little nuggets at a time, once in a while. But they want, like we was talking, they want love. They want attention. They want love and attention. One time, Dave and I was in line at Home Depot, and Dave and I was talking about something about hugging and everything, and this woman in front of me heard me talking to David about some, I don't know what it was, but we was talking about hugs. She turned around to me and she said, "I heard what you said about hugging." She said, "I want a hug right now." And I just reached around and hugged her. You know, if that's what she wanted, that's what she needed. And so just a hug may do it. I like to be hugged once in a while too.
Praise God. Hey, just remember this. When you're dealing with people, honor what the Lord honors. There's something you can lift up in their life that to lift them up, and you can honor it. Honor it, and you'll be surprised at what the Lord will do for you. Praise God. Let's all stand before we go home and give the Lord a praise. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done. Everything that you've done.